Hello, this is Mary Moreland reading the News Gazette Part 2 for Thursday, April 3rd, 2025. We'll begin with some obituaries. Felimonji Cortez, 85, passed away Friday, March 28th at Rush University Medical Center, Chicago. Visitation will be at Heath and Vaughn Funeral Home, 201 North Elm Street, Champaign, on Friday, April 4th at 4 p.m. A mass of Christian burial will follow at 10 a.m. Saturday, April 5th at St. Matthew's Catholic Church, 1303 Lincolnshire Drive, Champaign, with burial to follow in St. Mary's Cemetery. Betty Dalton, 96 of Savoy, died at 11:08 a.m. Thursday, March 27th at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Owens Funeral Home, 101 North Elm Street, Champaign. Crystal L. Dawson, 57 of Homer, passed away at 11:57 a.m. Saturday, March 29th, 2025, surrounded by family in her home. Funeral services will be on Friday, April 4th at 1 p.m. at Renner Wyckoff Chapel, 1900 Philo Road, Urbana. Pastor Bobby Dickema will be officiating. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the funeral home. Burial will be in Glen Park Cemetery, Paxton, with Pastor Heju Nam. Memorial contributions may be made to mercyships.org. Baby boy Genova Kahir Doris died Saturday, March 25th at Carl Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Visitation will begin at 11 a.m. April 10th at Leek & Sons Funeral Home, 1215 West Bradley Avenue, Urbana. Funeral services will be at noon on April 10th at the funeral home. Debbie Kais died Thursday, March 20th at Carl Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Excuse me. Visitation will begin at 11 a.m. April 11th at Mount Olive Baptist Church, Champaign. Funeral services will be at noon April 11th at the church. Leek & Sons Funeral Home, 1215 West Bradley Avenue, is in charge of arrangements. Robert G. Sanders, 84, of Cape Coral, Florida, passed away Monday, March 31st, 2025. There will be no services but a celebration of life at a later date. Alvin Shooter, 76, died at 4:13 a.m. Wednesday, April 2nd at Carl Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Beyer Family Funeral Services, Flatville. Bruce George Swihart, 95, of Pasotum, passed away peacefully at home on March 12, 2025. According to wishes, Bruce was cremated and funeral services will be at St. Mary's Catholic Church, Pasotum, on Saturday, April 5th. Visitation will be from 9 to 11 at the church, followed by a funeral mass at 11 a.m. Father Keith Walder will officiate. Susan K. Kappas Swenson, 79, of Mahomet, died Saturday after battling several long illnesses. Services will be private. In lieu of flowers, donations preferred to the Alzheimer's Association. Charles Wood, 90, died at 11:13 a.m. Tuesday at home in Paxton. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Beyer Family Funeral Services, 406 East Pell Street, Paxton. Calvin Young, 53, of Rantoul, formerly of Champaign, died at 5:40 p.m. Tuesday, March 25th at Carl Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to noon Saturday at New Generation Church, formerly Greater Holy Temple Church, 1409 West Dublin Street, Urbana. Funeral services will be at noon Saturday at the church. Apostle Davida Bernard will officiate. And now we have some sports. The Daily Pitch, sports editor Matt Daniels with a look at what's going on around the area. Three reasons we love sports today. One, Illinois women's basketball coach Shauna Green will join us for our final Monday night sports talk show this school year at the Esquire next Monday. The show gets going at 5 p.m. and lasts until 6 p.m. Hope to see you all there. Two, two former Illini golf standouts are part of the 96-player field that will tee off on April 10th at the Masters. Thomas Dietry and Brian Campbell will make their debuts at Augusta National 1 week from today in the first major of the year. Three, two Illinois men's gymnasts took home Big Ten honors on Wednesday. Pommel Horse standout Brandon Dang won the conference's Specialist of the Year accolade, while Ian Sandoval won the league's Freshman of the Year. Numbers game 1779. Division I men's basketball players, like former Illini Morez Johnson, who had put their name in the transfer portal, according to online tracking at verbalcommits.com as of late. Wednesday afternoon, this is just 10 days worth of player movement since the transfer portal opened on March 24th, and the total number of players who will eventually try to find a new school will grow since players have until April 22nd to enter into the portal. Buckle up. Crowd control, three events I'm planning to pay attention to. One, Illinois versus UC Davis women's gymnastics. The Illini compete against the Aggies at 4 p.m. Thursday in an NCAA regional meet in Seattle. If Illinois can top UC Davis, it advances to face off against Oklahoma, Auburn, and Nebraska on Friday. Two, Big Ten Men's Championships. Illinois heads to Ann Arbor, Michigan for the two-day Big Ten meet. The team competition, an event Illinois has won a Big Ten best 28 times, but not since 2018, begins at 6 p.m. Friday. 3. Danville area at Parkland Baseball. Doubleheader between the Cobras and Jaguars starts at noon on Saturday in Champaign, if the weather cooperates. Coach's Corner, three questions with Westville wrestling coach Austin Hedrick. My favorite sports teams are any Illini team and the Denver Broncos. Three coaches I'd like to have dinner with are Tom Brands, Terry Brands, and Bobby Knight. Biggest pet peeve is laziness. Making a power move. And there's a picture of Kylan Boswell with the caption, Kylan Boswell averaged 12.3 points, 4.8 rebounds, and 3.4 assists this past season at Illinois. The Champaign native and former Arizona guard announced on Wednesday afternoon he would return for a second season with the Illini. Yay for that. Boswell set to run it back with the Illini. Kylan Boswell was adamant in the wake of the Illinois men's basketball team's season-ending loss to Kentucky in the NCAA tournament that if he was playing the college basketball during the 25-26 season, it would be with the Illini. The Champaign native and former Edison and Urbana Middle School standout reinforced that less than 2 weeks later on Wednesday afternoon with the announcement he would run it back at Illinois next season. Boswell is the second player in Brad Underwood's program to announce that intention, with Ty Rogers doing the same Tuesday night. Boswell's announcement on social media came timed with a 41-second highlight video from his first season at Illinois this past winter. It's meant everything to me, Boswell said following the Kentucky game on March 21st about his return home to play for Illinois. I wanted to have more discipline within myself. I didn't want outside noise and distractions off the court to be something that was a part of my name. Then I wanted to be with somebody who was just going to push me to be the very best version of myself, and Coach Underwood has done that. I wanted to be around a bunch of guys where everything was about winning and playing the right way. I think Coach Underwood has helped me tremendously to become a man and as a player, too. I'm just really blessed and honored to be here. It's another round of good news for Illinois in an off-season that hasn't had too much in the first week plus. While Boswell and Rogers are set to return, the Illini host lost two starters to the transfer portal in Trey White and Morez Johnson Jr. to Michigan, in addition to backups Kerry Booth, Colorado State, and Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn and walk-on Keaton Kutcher. Boswell finished his first season back home, putting up 12.3 points, 4.8 rebounds, and 3.4 assists per game. The 6'2", 205-pound guard was at his best at the end of the season, averaging 16.9 points, 4.5 rebounds, and 4 assists in Illinois' final 8 games. He had 24 points and 7 assists in the Illini's Big Ten tournament win against Iowa, and 23 points and 6 assists in the second-round NCAA tournament loss to Kentucky. Illinois will likely have to build another new-look roster around Boswell, while Rogers is also returning after redshirting during the 24-25 season, and Tomislav Ivicic could return as well. The Illini will probably lose both Kasparis Jakakonis and Will Riley to the NBA draft. With White and Johnson opting to transfer, that leaves multiple starting lineups rotation spots to fill. Boswell as a centerpiece is a solid building block. His return to Champaign after 2 seasons at Arizona made him an immediate fan favorite. While Boswell struggled with his 3-point shot, like most of his new teammates, he eventually turned into one of Illinois' best options attacking the basket. He also got a handle on his early season turnover trouble and finished out that final 8 game stretch with a 2.1 assist to turnover ratio. And we have Scott Ritchie's column, Title Drought Hits 25 Years and Counting. Nebraska, as the Big Ten's last shot at a men's basketball championship this season, raised the reddest of red flags for the state of the conference at the time of year college basketball fans are truly invested. You'll wake up Thursday morning knowing if the Cornhuskers are still playing in the college basketball crown after a late-night Wednesday quarterfinal game in Las Vegas against Georgetown. Yes, the college basketball crown, the latest addition to the postseason basketball calendar that isn't the NCAA tournament and therefore is pointless. It's a money grab in between games that actually matter. The Final Four was set last weekend in Indianapolis, Atlanta, San Francisco, and Newark, New Jersey. Auburn in Florida and Duke in Houston won't play again until Saturday in San Antonio. In between, a collection of 16 teams battling it out in Las Vegas for a meaningless title. Games that only exist to line the coffers at Fox and provide a $500,000 name, image, and likeness prize pool split among the last 4 teams standing. Nebraska beat a 13-win Arizona State team on Monday. The Sun Devils finished 15th in the 16-team Big 12. Don't worry, though. Last place Colorado also got an invite to Las Vegas before getting rolled by 21 by Villanova in the first round on Tuesday. Why does that matter? It's simple. Nebraska, which couldn't even qualify for the 15-team Big Ten tournament after an utter collapse in the final month of the regular season, were the last Big Ten team standing. It sounds more absurd when you say it out loud. That means the most important long weekend in college basketball will once again happen without a single Big Ten team involved. 4 made it to the Sweet 16. Michigan State took it a step further to the Elite 8. But the Big Ten's drought of national championships now reaches a quarter century. That's a full generation of college basketball fans that only know the narrative of the Big Ten hasn't won a national title since 2000, when Tom Izzo and the Spartans beat Florida. Michigan State's title in 2000 is long enough ago that Carlos Santana's Maria Maria, still a banger, was the number 1 single on the Billboard charts, that Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets topped the New York Times bestsellers list, and long enough ago that Auburn's Chad Baker Mazzara, the oldest player remaining in the tournament, was just 2 months old. Illinois coach Brad Underwood has called the Big Ten the best conference in the country since his arrival in Champaign in 2017. Not that any coach in the league would publicly admit another was better, even if it's the truth. Claiming that the Big Ten has the best conference in the country, something the SEC and the Big 12 could easily dispute, should have come with a caveat, as in best conference in the country during the regular season only. Even that's a stretch in the way that past few years have played out. There have been opportunities, of course, to supplant 2000 Michigan State as the last national champion out of the Big Ten. Only the ACC 20 has more Final Four teams than the Big Ten, 15 from 2001 through 2025. Purdue made it to the title game last season before running into the buzzsaw that was Connecticut. Michigan was the national runner-up in 2013 and 2018, and Wisconsin 2015, Michigan State 2009, and Ohio State 2007, Illinois 2005, and Indiana 2002 all experienced the same. But if winning a national championship was easy, everybody would do it. A dozen programs have claimed the last 23 titles heading into this year's Final Four. And just six of them, UConn 5, Duke 3, North Carolina 3, Florida 2, Kansas 2, and Villanova 2, are responsible for 17 of those 23 championships. So why has the Big Ten so routinely fallen short in the last quarter century since Mateen Cleaves and Morris Peterson led Michigan State to the 2000 title? Can't be the coaching. Tom Izzo is still around in East Lansing, Michigan, and is a legend, and so is Matt Painter in his 470 wins in 20 seasons at Purdue. Oregon's Dana Altman has had a long, successful career. Michigan's Dusty May took Florida Atlantic to a Final Four in 2023 and flipped the Wolverines in less than a year's time. And Underwood's won 139 games in the past six seasons with the Illini. Even the newcomers are legit, with recently hired Iowa coach Ben McCollum, the winner of four Division II national championships in a six-year span with Northwest Missouri State. Is it the players? The eye test reveals other conferences boasting longer, more athletic players, or at least more of them. Maybe it's just the idea of the conference itself. The Big Ten has a reputation as a physical league, a place where old-school big men thrive, a grinder of a conference. So rosters have to be built to withstand the rigors of a 20-game Big Ten schedule. Efforts that have narrowed the gap between the top-tier teams in the conference and those at the bottom in the last several seasons, but haven't done enough, clearly, to generate a team able to win six straight games and a national championship. Or maybe it's just bad luck or bad matchups. But it didn't happen this season for the Big Ten. Again, a quarter century and counting that's created a perpetual wait-till-next-year feeling. Big Ten coaches this season. Coaching them up. Four Big Ten coaching jobs have already changed hands this month. Illini beat writer Scott Ritchie takes a look at all 18 conference programs and their coaches this century. And there's a photograph with the caption, Brad Underwood just finished his eighth season as Illinois' coach. Well, Tom Izzo is the most tenured Big Ten coach, with Izzo's latest Michigan State team losing in the Elite Eight of the NCAA tournament to Auburn during the 24-25 season. Illinois current coach Brad Underwood, previous coaches Lon Kruger, Bill Self, Bruce Weber, John Gross, and Jamal Walker. Of note, Self still has a claim as the Illinois' best coach this century, with two Big Ten titles, a Sweet 16 appearance, and an Elite Eight run. Not to mention his recruiting the top players for the Illinois team that ultimately played for a national championship in 2005. Underwood is on his heels, though, with six straight 20-win seasons and six straight NCAA tournament bids, if you count 2020, which at least he does. Indiana current coach Darian DeVries. Previous coaches Bob Knight, Mike Davis, Kelvin Sampson, Dan Dakich, Tom Crean, Archie Miller, and Mike Woodson. Of note, Woodson stepped aside at the end of the 24-25 season, simply allowed the former Indiana guard turned coach to not officially join the list of coaches the Hoosiers had fired. That was his fate had he not announced his resignation, a fate shared by every non-interim coach Indiana coach for five decades. The last to step away by choice was Lou Watson in 1971, a move that opened the door for three national titles in 29 seasons under Knight. Iowa current coach Ben McCollum, previous coaches Steve Alford, Todd Licklider, and Fran McCaffrey. Of note, McCaffrey was the longest tenured coach in Iowa basketball history when he was fired in the wake of the Hawkeyes' second-round loss in the Big Ten tournament in mid-March. He won 297 games in Iowa City, but barely had a 500 record during 15 seasons in the Big Ten. His replacement brings an impeccable record with him after four Division II national titles at Northwest Missouri State and a 31-win effort his past season at Drake. Maryland court, current coach Buzz Williams, previous coaches Gary Williams, Mark Turgeon, Danny Manning, and Kevin Willard. Of note, Willard's departure for Villanova, that was so poorly handled, only extends the unheard-of coaching turnover for Maryland. Williams is the fourth in five seasons if you count Manning's interim run. The Terrapins' history includes a series of coaches on the job for at least a decade beyond Williams and Turgeon. Bud Milliken and Lefty Driesel both had 17-season stints that shepherded the Terps through the majority of 1950s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. Michigan, current coach Dusty May, previous coaches Brian Ellerby, Tommy Amaker, John Bile, and Juwan Howard. Of note, May pulled off the most impressive bounce-back season in program history this year. He inherited a mess from Howard, who went 8-24 as Michigan finished in last place during the 23-24 season and led the Wolverines to a runner-up Big Ten finish, a Big Ten tournament title, and a Sweet 16 appearance. May's predecessors almost exclusively had a tough first season, but May's ability to rebuild on the fly was impressive. Michigan State, current coach Tom Izzo, previous coaches none, obviously, in the last 25 years. Izzo is the longest tenured coach in the Big Ten and has actually spent more than 30 years in East Lansing, Michigan, after starting his time at Michigan State in 1983 as an assistant for Judd Heathcote. Izzo trails only longtime friend Greg Kemp as the longest tenured coach in all of Division I men's basketball and added win number 737 last Friday night in the Spartan Sweet 16 win against Mississippi. Minnesota, current coach Mike Medved, previous coaches Don Monson, Jim Molinari, Tubby Smith, Richard Pitino, and Ben Johnson. Of note, the Gophers can't seem to figure out how much success is enough success to keep a head coach. Smith was fired after making three NCAA tournaments to go into with an NIT runner-up finish. Pitino won the NIT in 2014 and made two NCAA tournaments before a downturn to 500 during the two seasons affected by the pandemic. Johnson never really even had a chance. Maybe Medved, a Minnesota alum, will fare better. Nebraska current coach Fred Hoiberg, previous coaches Danny Nee, Barry Collier, Doc Sadler, and Tim Miles. Of note, Hoiberg did get Nebraska to the 2024 NCAA tournament, one of his two appearances this century. He had the Cornhuskers trending for another until their complete collapse at the end of 24-25 regular season with 12 losses in their final 17 games. What Nebraska still doesn't have is an NCAA tournament win, and the heat on Hoiberg's seat might get back to the level it was when he went 24-67 during his first three seasons. Northwestern current coach Chris Collins, previous coaches Kevin O'Neill, Bill Carmody. Of note, at this point, Collins is Northwestern basketball, unless you want to count Arthur Longbird, who guided the Wildcats to a 16-1 record in 1930-31 season when they were the Helms and Primo Peretta national champs. But before Collins, no coach took the Wildcats to the NCAA tournament until he did in 2017. Then he did it again in 2023 and once more in 2024. His four 20-win seasons are also double the next coach on the list. Ohio State current coach Jake Diebler, previous coaches Jim O'Brien, Thad Matta, and Chris Holtman. Of note, the Buckeyes stuck with Diebler after he replaced Holtman as interim coach at the end of the 23-24 season. They'll find out in a year or two if that was the right move, or if they regret it like Texas apparently did with Rodney Terry. Meanwhile, Ohio State is still chasing the level of success Hoopston native Matta had with 5 Big Ten titles and 5 deep NCAA tournament runs in his first 9 seasons. Oregon current coach Dana Altman, previous coach Ernie Kent. Of note, while Altman just coached his first season in the Big Ten, he's now third in line in the conference among longest tenured coaches following McCaffrey's ouster at Iowa. What he's done in 15 seasons with the Ducks marks the most consistent success in program history. Howard Hobson did win an NCAA title in 1939, but no Oregon coach has sustained success like Altman with 15 seasons of at least 20 wins. Penn State current coach Mike Rhodes, previous coaches Jerry Dunn, Ed DeChellis, Pat Chambers, Jim Frey, and Micah Shrewsbury. Of note, the Penn State job turned into a bit of a revolving door after Chambers resigned, albeit perhaps without another option, just before the start of the 2021 season. Ferry was a one-year stopgap and is now the coach at UMBC, and Shrewsbury wasted little time in moving on after he turned an impressive 22-23 season in Happy Valley, just his second with the Nittany Lions, into the Notre Dame job. Current coach Matt Painter, previous coach Gene Cady. Of note, Cady's 25 seasons at Purdue were rather impressive with more than 500 wins and 6 Big Ten titles, including 3 straight from 1994 to 96. The torch would then pass with little drama to Painter, who had led Southern Illinois to the NCAA tournament in 2004 and returned to his alma mater as coach-in-waiting for one season before Cady's retirement. A smart move on the Boilermakers' part, considering Painter is 471-214 with 5 Big Ten titles in 20 seasons. Rutgers current coach Steve Picciel, previous coaches Kevin Barnum, Gary Waters, Fred Hill, Mike Rice Jr., and Eddie Jordan. Of note, Picciel didn't have a high bar to clear when he left Stonybrook for Rutgers almost a decade ago. Jordan didn't seem like a fit given his NBA coaching background and never won more than 12 games in his 3 seasons on the Banks. And Rice was fired after video surfaced of him shoving and grabbing players, throwing basketballs at them, and using homophobic slurs during practice. Picciel's success has leveled off the past 2 seasons, both 15-17 campaigns after 2 NCAA tournament appearances, but it's still better than it used to be. Southern California current coach Eric Musselman, previous coaches Henry Bibby, Jim Saya, Tim Floyd, Kevin O'Neill, Bob Cantu, and Andy Einfeld. Of note, Einfeld is USC's only coach this century to leave the program on good terms. Bibby and O'Neill were both fired during their final seasons, and Floyd resigned in the wake of an NCAA investigation into improper benefits for O.J. Mayo. Einfeld's departure, of course, set off one of the wildest coaching carousel moments last spring, which would wound up with new coaches at SMU, USC, Arkansas, and BYU. UCLA current coach Mike Cronin, previous coaches Steve Lavin, Ben Howland, Steve Alford, and Murray Bartow. Of note, UCLA hired Cronin after a much maligned coaching search followed Alford's New Year's Eve 2018 firing, and he got into the Bruins to back-to-back Sweet 16s in 2022 and 23. After a run to Final Four in 2021, it would behoove Cronin to have more March success. Alford coached UCLA to 3 Sweet 16 appearances in his first 4 seasons and was out the door not even 2 full years later. The folks in Westwood are fickle. Only the legendary John Wooden was more successful than Howland, and UCLA fired the latter, too. Washington current coach Danny Sprinkle, previous coaches Bob Bender, Lorenzo Romar, and Mike Hopkins. Wisconsin current coach Greg Gard, previous coaches Dick Bennett and Brad Soderberg. This has been Mary Moreland reading the News Gazette Part 2 for Thursday, April 3rd, 2025. I hope you have a wonderful weekend.